You've been born again. Wait, you're going to be born two, three. How many times are you going to be born? You know, again, those questions don't come of faith. Let those who are of faith receive what I'm saying. I got to be born. Jesus had to be born again too. You know, he had to be the firstborn from the dead. I'm going to be born again that way too. I'm going to be born from the dead. So again, it's manifest. There are more ways than one to be born again. But this sense is the sense of this book of John. Because you look at it from the beginning. His whole thing is, I'm writing you these things to you so you won't sin. I don't want you to sin. You have forgiveness. You have this, but you got to know, he that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that is born of God does not commit sin, for the seed of God remains in him. See that seed. We are the seed of God. You know, because his seed is in us. It's implanted by the word of God, by the spirit of God. There's a seed. And it's got to grow up into something. And that something is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, as Paul put it in Ephesians. We have to be born into that. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Think about that. This is how you... Because there's all this talk out there among some teachers. Who are the children of God? Who are the children of the devil? Well, it's very clear. This is how you make these things known. In Genesis 3:15 is the first talk about seeds. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent is sinfulness. The seed of the woman is Christ. Christ is that promised seed. He is the seed of promise. The seed of sin was of the flesh. It was immediate. It was in Adam. It was in Eve. It was in Cain. You know, and so on. And in every man, the seed of evil. But Christ was the promised seed that would come, that would have enmity with sin. He came for this purpose. He was manifest to destroy those works. You see? What did it say? Look at Genesis 3:15. This is the meaning of Genesis 3:15 right here in the book of John. Because people ask me this question. Well, what is Genesis 3? Paul, you deny that Satan had sex with Eve, and you deny that Cain is the literal son of Satan, and that the Jews are the children of the devil, and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, inasmuch as they serve sin, they are the children of the devil. But so are any Christians who serve the devil, who would call themselves. There's nothing Christian about serving the devil, obviously, but we all call ourselves that, and then we do things we ought not do. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity between the... Enmity means opposition, like you're going to be enemies with each other. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Again, the seed is him. It is Christ. But he crushed the head of the seed of devil. That's why he came to destroy the works, to stomp on the head of the serpent and crush the head. But they wounded him. But his is the ultimate victory. He was wounded, what? For our transgressions. Sin. That is the seed of the serpent. Sin. The sinful nature in man, the sinful deeds of man, is proof of whose children you are. If you do sin, you are the child of the devil. That's what John taught. That's what the apostles taught. That's what Genesis 3:15 means. It's a spiritual seed. What, did God plant his, you know, in man? Is that what it says? The seed of God. Well, that's spiritual. Yeah, sure, Paul. Well, then why isn't the other one spiritual? Well, because my pastor... My pastor suggested it to me, but you read Genesis, I don't see nothing like that at all. See some fruit of a tree. Oh, it's all a parable. It's a... Don't instruct me. You don't know anything. You ought to study under me. And I can teach you what the Bible teaches. You notice I don't get into that nonsense that those other teachers get into, like Arnold Murray. Or those racists, whoever they are. I don't get into it. You know why? It doesn't profit you. Because if you do unrighteousness, you are Satan's child. That's all you are. You're a Cainite. A son of Cain. You've gone the way of Cain. Followed after the gainsaying of Korah. And run greedily after reward, just like Balaam. You're just like those boys. You're not of God. He that does righteousness is righteous. You gotta do the works. If you don't do the works, then you ain't the seed, brother. When I say that to you, that's for love. That you would depart from evil. If I don't do those works, I'm not either. So I can call you brother, sinner. But the apostles' teaching, you can't turn against it. I mean, you can. You can make up whatever you want. Make up whatever you want. Excuse yourself. Burn. Die. That's what all you'll do. I mean, oh, hey, welcome to it. I want to live forever, personally. So, looking at this word, I teach what I have learned. And I am going to follow it. And I trust the living God. I'm going to obtain all the promises of God. And those that will hear me, if you will follow after the same rule, you will also obtain. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Because that's righteousness is all part of that. I mean, that's the commandment. You know, love your brother as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Especially your brother. And there's a certain... You know, again, Cain didn't love his brother. Even as I've been a sinner, I'm a brother to the children of the devil. And if my brother became my enemy, what do I do? Because if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or a covetous person, etc., etc., have no fellowship with that man.